Hi, and welcome to the third lesson of the Prayer to Go DVD series. I'd like to review for you what we've done in the first two lessons to help you see where we're going in this lesson. In our first time together, we asked the question, why are most people's prayers for themselves and others not getting answered in the way they want them to be answered? We said two things. First, they don't pray very much. And secondly, when they do pray, they're asking for selfish things. And God makes no guarantees that He'll answer those prayers. As a result, many people have concluded that prayer does not work. In the second lesson, we said, if we are not to pray selfish prayers, how then do we pray? We then took a fresh look at the words of Jesus and found many key principles that guide our prayers. The greatest being that life is about God, and it is His kingdom that should be the focus of our prayers, even in our daily needs. We are now going to begin our third lesson. And the essence of the third lesson is this. Not only has God promised to meet our basic needs, He has also given us a blank check. If I were to give you a blank check from my wife and I, it would look something like this. The check would be from the Wachovia Bank, where we conduct our financial affairs. Of course, it would be signed by me, and all other lines would be blank. You would then put your name in, and you would write any amount you want in the box. Let's say you were wanting a new car, and you wrote $20,000 in the amount box. You would then go to your bank and deposit it, and within a few days, you would find out that your check bounced, because my wife and I do not have that kind of money in our checking account. It wouldn't do you much good. Let's suppose you got another blank check, but this time it was from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, if you were a young person and you did not know who Bill and Melinda Gates were, you might still think, I'd still like a new car. So you write in your name at the top, you put in $20,000 in the amount, and then you go to your bank and deposit it. Lo and behold, the finances come in. You now have money to buy a car. You feel really good until you're informed about who Bill and Melinda Gates are. And you realize that you could have written that check out for $1 million and it would still have gone through. Your use of the blank check did not come anywhere close to its full potential. Your vision was much smaller than it could have been. Okay, let's now assume that you get a blank check from Jesus. He has signed it. He is waiting for you to write in your name and the amount that you want in it. What would you write? Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, okay, purely rhetorical. This would never happen. I would never get such a check. I want to challenge you. Although you will never get a physical blank check from Jesus, in essence, He has given you a complete blank check. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14 and look at the 13th verse. Listen to these words. I will do whatever you ask in my name. Now, wait a second. He will do what? I will do whatever you ask in my name. Whatever? Whatever I want? You'll do whatever I want you to do? Yes, that's what Jesus is saying. He is giving you a blank check. He will do whatever you ask. He repeats the same promise two chapters later in John chapter 16, verse 23. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Ask the Father for anything. You mean I can ask Him for anything? That's right. That's what Jesus is saying. That's where the blank check comes in. Anything? Yes, anything. Then I can ask Him for bigger cars, a second home on the lake, the faster laptop, the boat and the jet skis. This is wonderful. No. You're going back to hedonistic squandering that James talked about because you missed some key words. Both passages specifically said, ask for anything in my name. Most Christians think, yes, I know. I'll ask for the boat, the jet skis, the house on the lake. I'll end my prayer saying, in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Wrong. You can't do that. You see, praying in the name of Jesus is not a formula for success. It is not a magical set of words that is going to force God to answer your prayers. Before we can ask God for anything, we need to understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. If you were to go and look at all the prayers that are offered in the New Testament, you'll find something very amazing. None of them end in the words, "In Jesus' name, amen." None of them. This clearly tells us that using those words alone are not the key. It is what those words stand for that make them key. So what do they mean? Well, it has everything to do with a person's name and what it stands for. A person's name has meaning. Jacob means deceiver. Abraham means father of many nations. Emmanuel means God is with us. A person's name represented something about their character, their personality, their origin, sometimes even their destiny. It was very significant. And there are a couple of things that we can learn from this. First, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are saying, "Lord, what I'm asking for is consistent with your character, with your personality, with your purpose, plan, and destiny for creation." So before you can even pray, you should be thinking, "Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? How would you be praying here? I want to pray what you want, not what I want. It is your kingdom that is to be established, not mine." If you do that, you will definitely be praying in Jesus' name. Now, secondly, a person's name represents his reputation. We saw this in the last session, "Hallowed be thy name." In other words, may your reputation be lifted up. May your name be exalted. May you become famous through these prayers. Thirdly, by praying in Jesus' name, we are acknowledging to God and to ourselves that we are only allowed to pray based on Jesus' perfect life and undeserved death here on this earth. It is because of Jesus' 33 years here on this earth that we can even come to the Father with any request. We are praying in Jesus' name. Oh, how praying in Jesus' name changes everything. And you know what it does? It once again makes us check our motivation for why we pray. When we fill in the blank check, are we asking God to make our life easier or to make God's name famous? I want you to see two prayers of the Bible. Both are answered positively. And as you read these prayers, I want you to see what their motivation was as they filled in their blank check. The first prayer we're going to look at is from Joshua. Let me give you the context here. Joshua has just crossed the Jordan River and is leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. They get their first victory, but then they got their first loss at Ai. When his men come back defeated, Joshua prays these words, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us?" It sounds like Joshua is worried about himself, his people, the Israelites. Well, let's see what else he says. "If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of this land will hear of it. They will surround us and cut off our name from the earth." Once again, it looks like he is only worried about his people as if he's self-centered. Note, he was talking about our name, meaning Israel's name. Could this be hedonistic squandering? Well, let's look at how he ends his prayer. Let's repeat verse 9 and finish it out. "For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of this land will hear of it. They will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" What is Joshua basically saying here? Lord, if we're destroyed, how can we serve you and advance your kingdom here on this earth? It is about you, Lord. Don't let this happen. In other words, Joshua talked about his needs, yes, but he did it in the context of advancing God's kingdom. It is okay to pray about our needs in the context of advancing God's kingdom. This is very biblical. That's what Joshua did. He was basically saying, Lord, for the sake of your great name, give us victory. This is exactly what we learned from Jesus when he taught us to pray. There is no problem in praying about our needs, but we need to pray about them in the context of God's kingdom. Then we will see many more of our prayers being answered. Now let's look at a second prayer. It is from Daniel in the book of Daniel. In the context of this prayer, the Israelites were judged by God for their sin and were allowed to be conquered by other nations. They are now in captivity. The city of Jerusalem and its holy temple lie in ruins. Daniel, in a foreign land, prays for the restoration of God's people back to their homeland. His prayer starts off in praise. He then confesses the sin of the nation. After this, he begs God to act. Upon what basis does he ask God to restore his people? What does he say? Let's pick it up in verse 15. "Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day," when he is getting into the petition phase of his prayer, he is starting off on God's reputation. That's where he begins. Lord, it's about you. He is saying, Lord, what you did in bringing your people out of Egypt gave you a reputation that remains to this day. His focus is on God's reputation. Oh, how we need to start our prayers off thinking first and foremost about God's reputation. How is this going to affect God, what I'm praying for? Well, let's get back to the prayer. We have sinned. We have done wrong. Oh, Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Did you catch that word, scorn? What does he mean by that? He means that other nations are making fun of God's people. They are mocking them. They are laughing at them. They are basically saying, you people and your God are nothing. Daniel knew this was tearing God's reputation down that had been built up through what he did in bringing them out of Egypt. So he references it because this is where his focus is. Let's keep going on in the prayer in verse 17. "Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary." For whose sake? Did he say for the sake of the Israelites? We deserve our own city. We should be able to be free and be homeowners in our own land. No, he doesn't say for their sake. He says, Lord, for your sake do this. For your sake act. For your sake rebuild the city. Verse 18, "Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name." Again, Daniel is concerned about God. He's concerned about God's name, his reputation. Let's go back to the text. "We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy." Oh, please note, God never acts because we are righteous. Our motivation should never be, Lord, look how much I've served you. Look how much I've done for you. Please do this for me. No. It is never based on what we've done. Nor can we say, Lord, look how much they have served you. Look how much they love you. Do something for their sake, O Lord. No. What should we pray? Lord, act. Because you are a merciful God. And when you do, that will make you look good. It'll make you famous. And as a result, your glory will shine brighter and brighter. Let's keep going on. Verse 19. "O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay. Because your city and your people bear your name." Daniel basically finishes his prayer saying, Lord, we bear your name. Your reputation is being established through us. And how is it going to look for you if your city lies in ruin? For your sake, O God, act quickly. These two prayers are first and foremost focused on God and His glory. Joshua and Daniel had a blank check, and they filled it in. One asked for deliverance for an entire nation. The other asked for the rebuilding of an entire nation. They prayed big prayers. They were big because they weren't praying for themselves. They were focused on God's reputation through their circumstances. God's timing is always perfect. And right now, as I am shooting this video, right now I have a major crisis on my hands. This is not by accident. One couple very close to my wife and I are going through terrible marriage problems. They're looking to us for help. And because we love them so much, we want to cry out to God for their sakes. Deep down inside, I hurt for them and want to say, God, They don't deserve to go through so much pain. They are such wonderful people. Although this is a passionate prayer, it is not necessarily a powerful prayer. There is a huge difference between a passionate prayer and a powerful prayer. Yet I realize that praying for their sake should not be my primary motivation. It's not a bad motivation, but it should not be the primary motivation. I need to pray for His name's sake, God. How can they focus on your kingdom when their marriage is in such bad shape? How can they witness to others when their lives are filled with such pain? Make your name famous through them by revealing your mercy in their lives. For your name's sake, work in them what needs to be done so your glory can shine through them. And after you heal them, use them to touch others' lives who are experiencing the same problem. And what about their children? Oh, how I love them dearly, and I'm worried about how this is affecting them. So I know I need to pray for them. How should I pray? I need to pray for them with God's reputation in mind as well. So my prayer is, Lord, how is this affecting their children's image of you? With all of the fighting their parents do, how can their children pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, when their minds are depressed and they keep thinking of suicide? How can they even walk with you living in that environment? Open their eyes to forgive. Open their eyes to give grace. Open their hearts to overlook the problems that they might seek your kingdom in your holy name. I have been given a blank check by God when I pray for them. I hope I'm filling it in well. You have been given a blank check by the living God. He has said to you, ask me for anything. Like the check written for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, don't fall short of filling in that blank. Have you filled in the right amount? Is it for the right purpose? Are you praying God-sized prayers for His reputation? Well, it's time to go to the prayers. We're going to pray prayers from the Prayer to Go website so you can focus on what we're learning. And then you're going to break down in small groups for your discussion time. You have filled my heart. You have filled my heart. The peace that has no ending. You have shown me love.
Praying in Jesus' name.
Father, to pray in the name of Jesus is not supposed to be a magical few set of words tacked on at the end of my prayer to get my requests answered. They are there to signify that what I want, what I am needing to do and seeking to do, needs to be done to make your ways known, to make you famous, to make you look good in the eyes of my neighbors and the nations. Please, keep that in the forefront of my mind when I come before you and give you my requests. Help me to be constantly thinking, is what I am about to pray going to reveal God's glory in a wonderful way? So that when I end my prayer, in the name of Jesus, I can be saying those words with great confidence.
Living for God.
Father, when I am asking for something in Jesus' name, I should be asking myself, is what I want consistent with Jesus' character, personality, and His overall plan of life? What would Jesus do in this situation? Is what I want God's will or just my will? Will this decision result in more glory to God and be for His kingdom? Remind me to pray this way daily instead of my own way.
Spiritual growth.
It is so easy to focus on personal application as I study your word. I am constantly asking, what do I get out of this? What's in it for me? Although that is not incorrect, let me also be asking, what do you get out of this? What are your dreams? What are you trying to accomplish? And slowly, but lovingly, take me away from a people-centered, self-centered understanding of your word.
Praying for others.
Father, when I see someone hurting, I want to pray passionate prayers for their release from their hurtful situation or pain. I know the Bible says that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Help me to remember, though, that you want me to pray this kind of prayer for your name's sake, not just to release someone from pain who might give you some praise and then quickly forget about you. I give you permission to change the way I pray for others so that their focus is on your glory, not only in their release from pain or discomfort, but throughout their entire life.
Christian leaders.
Lord, I want to pray for the Christian political leaders of this world. They represent you to the rest of the world. Your name, your reputation is at stake by what happens through them. When people see them or hear of what they are doing, they are saying, "Oh, so that's what a Christian is like." Oh, Father, for the sake of your holy name, keep them holy. Keep them walking with you in integrity. Keep them far from sexual temptations. Keep them from corrupt thoughts and actions. And keep them meeting with you on a consistent basis. For your sake, O Lord, guide the leaders of the nations of the earth who call themselves Christians.
Life's goal.
Father, you have given me a blank check that I can fill in to advance your kingdom. Oh Lord, I want to fill that in correctly. I want to pray prayers that are so big, that are so incredibly above who I am or anything I can do, that if you do not show up, I am dead. Nothing is going to happen. Give me a vision to fill in your blank check so that when I meet you face to face, my prayers will have reached their full potential.